Good morning. It's great to be here. Does it really exist? Does it really exist? Heaven? Good. I hope you believe in heaven, because about 5-6 weeks ago I spoke on heaven, and we gave a 2-part series and 1 series on what is heaven's like and how to get there. So if I ask the question, does heaven really exist? The answer is yes. And it was a heavenly message. Now, I don't mean it was a great message. It was about heaven. Get the pun? Heavenly message? Anyway, we won't go there. Does it really exist? Now, my message today, I don't really like it. I found it very hard. I've spent at least a month preparing this message. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And my message today is not to scare people. My message today is to really get across there is heaven, but does hell really exist? Now, I'm going to do something different. Jonathan, would you come up here, please? I saw him sneak in the back there. I want him to pray again. Not that the Lord didn't hear that first prayer, but Jonathan, I'm going to be speaking on hell. That means we're on the enemy's territory. That means I've had a lot of problems this week. Now, I don't know if it's because of this subject, but I'm going to ask Jonathan to give a special prayer for all of us, that you won't feel guilty, but that you'll see the reality that hell exists. Thank you, Jonathan.
Father, with grateful hearts, we just bow once again before you in the precious and worthy name of your beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for our dear brother, Ron, as he's going to come forward now and share the message which you've laid on his heart. Father, we know the subject matter is not talked about much, but we know it's a reality. And we know we have an enemy who's seeking to destroy Christian lives. He knows his time is limited. There's a day coming when he's under judgment. And so what he's trying to do is discourage and get people to not believe in him. Father, we pray and lift up our dear brother now with the Holy Spirit, that you would guide and direct him, Father, that there's no strongholds that you haven't overcome. And Father, we pray that you would help him now with this message. The enemy does not like us to know his tragedies, but hell is a reality, and people are going to a lost eternity, and they need to hear the truth. We thank you for our dear brother, for his love for you. And we just ask that in everything that is said, that you were given the glory and honor. Watch over the congregation. Thank you for everyone here. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. When I was young, people said, never lay a hand on a person suddenly. Well, I saw you sneak in there, so can't get away from nothing. The most unpopular subject a minister can choose to preach on is hell. I'll prove this as we go along. Yet the Bible has almost as much to say about it than any other subject. I can't ignore it, even though it makes people uncomfortable. But in the church also, it's a subject that's not being spoken on. It's unpopular. It rubs against us. It's like sandpaper. To my shame, this is confession. Where is the confessional? No, but to my shame, I don't remember the last time I spoke on it. I preached that hell exists, but I haven't given a full-fledged 30-minute, 28-minute message on this subject. I love preparing the message on heaven, the ones we did 6 weeks ago or so. Oh, I enjoyed that. Because, see, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. And it was joyful. And even though I saw 21 people die this year, not seen them, but friends of mine, first name people, 21. When I was here last time, it was 15. Now it's been 21. I've been going to funerals. See, a lot of people my age, I know I don't look just about 80. I'm 79. I know I look 59. You don't have to keep saying that. So I go to a lot of funerals, and I've taken a lot of funerals. I was at one last week at Bethany Baptist Church. Senjans, a doctor, fantastic man, he died. But hell, I don't really find that interesting. You know, the higher percentage of people, and I did a lot of study on this, they believe in heaven, but most of them don't believe in hell. Hell is a figure of the imagination. Hell is the devil there with thorns, with a pitchfork, with fire all around. Unfortunately, up at Avalon Island Bible Camp in the years gone by, some people would talk about hell, trying to scare the children out of hell into heaven. That's not right either. That's not right. The Bible clearly presents that hell is real. It's real. It's real. How many times have people said to you, go to hell? Now, this morning in the Lord's Supper, we didn't use that word, but many people say the name Jesus, like Jesus Christ, in vain. And I usually get back at them when they say that, because Jesus is my best friend. I love him. So when somebody says to me, blah, 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 Jesus Christ, I'll say, well, why have you included him in the conversation? Or I'll say to him, well, do you know him? I know him. Now, I'm a Bible pusher. I love giving out the Bible. 250,000, I'm not exaggerating, it's on paper in Guelph, Ontario. In Quebec, I gave out. I stand on every SkyTrain station here in the Lower Mainland giving out Bibles. I've been to all 38 schools in Burnaby years ago giving out Bibles. I go to all your high schools and I stand in the corner giving out Bibles. And you know how many times people have said to me, go to hell. Sorry, brother. I hope I get invited again. But they tell me to go to hell. They don't like us talking about Jesus. And when they tell me to go to hell, you know what I say to them? I ain't going there. I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me. That usually shuts them up. Now, if anybody's never told you to go there, maybe you're not witnessing. Maybe you're not talking about Jesus. But this world does not like Jesus. So hell is real. What does the Bible teach about hell? But first, you know, because of this message here, I listened to a couple of messages by Billy Graham on hell. Excellent message. And I don't usually recommend people, but he had excellent. I listened to at least two or three by Charles Stanley on hell. And they all say they don't like to speak on it. I listened to at least one message by David Jeremiah on hell. And he doesn't like to talk on it. John Piper, he talks a lot about hell, and he doesn't like it. So, John MacArthur, these are all biblical people that are way more educated biblically than your speaker this morning. But they all talk on hell. And I listen to their message. As some of you know, I'm having some back problems, so I'm laying down at least one third of my life right now. I'm laying in bed. So I get, listen to these. I benefit. So I'm sitting there in bed, stretched out, listening to Billy Graham talk about hell to prepare me for today. What does Jesus say about hell? That's the important thing. These people are important. Don't get me wrong. Be careful. Ojo, ojo, cuidado. Be careful what you read and see on the internet. But what you see and hear in the Bible, you don't have to be careful. So what does Jesus say about hell? Well, Jesus warns us about hell 42 times in his lifetime. I hear people say, well, I don't want to talk about hell. It's negative. I'm a positive person. Well, so am I a positive person. It's not negative talking about hell, because I'm going to tell you how you're not to go there. And I'm going to tell you how to go there if you want to. But you don't want to, I'm telling you. But I'm going to tell you how to go there. So it's a positive message that I am preaching. But a lot of people say, I don't want to talk about hell because it's negative. Jesus spoke about hell often in Matthew chapter 5. His first sermon was laid out in the New Testament in verse 22 of chapter 5 of Matthew. He said, I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the courts. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. That's from the Bible. That's Jesus saying that. Here, Jesus had just arrived. This is his first sermon. He just arrived to Jerusalem and beginning the first part of his ministry. Then going to Galilee, finished off his ministry. But here he's preaching hell. The Sermon on the Mount happens to be given on a hillside in Galilee. He speaks of the fiery hell as if he has assumed that everybody knew about it. So if Jesus talks about it, I certainly should talk about it. And as I said, I confessed a second time. I might say it three or four times because I do feel guilty. I've never really given a sermon fully on hell. I don't remember the last time. Here's what Matthew 5:27 again. I'm going to read it because I want you to see it and hear it to get into our heads. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you should not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. Verse 22. But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says that you fool will be liable to hellfire. That's pretty strong teaching. That's pretty strong teaching. And as we go through, when you get home to this afternoon, go through Matthew chapter 5, and you'll see it over and over again. Jesus talks about this terrible place. Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone else in the Bible. In fact, he spoke more about hell than anybody in the whole Bible. It has become popular these days to deny the doctrine of hell. Nobody wants to hear about it. With Hollywood and all the different character drawings of hell and Satan and all those kind of things, it's put a damper on hell. But I'm here to tell you, for love of each and every one of you. Now, maybe I'm preaching to the choir. I hope so. But any of you here that do not have your ticket paid for to go to heaven, I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven again, as I did 6 weeks ago. But let's look at this parable. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. I've spoken on this many times, but I'm just going to use this as one example of many. Look up in the Bible, please. Luke chapter 16. It's called The Rich Man and Lazarus. Everybody got it? We got to see it. Luke chapter 16. And I'm actually going to read the whole parable. I'm not that good of a reader. I've been dyslexic all my life and have a problem reading, but we're going to try to wade through it ourselves. Jesus said in verse 6 and 19, are you with me? Jesus said, there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived every day in luxury like I do. Look how nice I look. I have a tie on too. Come on now. Okay, you got that? You get the picture. This guy's, he's got money. He's got influence. Purple, fine linen. Verse 20. At his gate laid a poor man, Lazarus, who was covered with sores. Go to East Vancouver. You'll see a lot of people of this nature. As Lazarus lay there longing for scrumbs scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, a poor man died. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to a place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance and Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip his finger, the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. I'm anguished in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And beside there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." Then the rich man said, "Please, please, Father Abraham, please, at least send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and I want them to warn them so they do not end up in this place of torment." But Abraham said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brother can read what they wrote." The rich man replied, "No, no, Father Abraham, no. But if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God." And Abraham said, "If they wouldn't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone raised from the dead." What a sad story. I preached on that many times. I haven't gone into any great detail. But there was a man, a rich man that had everything, but we find out from Scripture he didn't have Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus. He wasn't a child of God. He wasn't part of the family of God. He went to church. I believe he went to church. And he might even give him some money to the poor people, but he didn't have Jesus. With the Lazarus, we find, as we read Scripture, we believe that he was what we refer to as a child of God. He believed in Jesus. He believed in the Messiah. And Lazarus died and went to heaven because he believed. Lazarus died and went to heaven because he believed. But the rich man didn't believe. He went to a place of torment, a place of flames. And the Bible, in some of the translations, and I've got it in the bottom of my Bible here, calls it Hades. H-A-T-E-S. Hades. Hell. So this is a story. You've read it. You've seen it. Jesus wants to save us. Now people say, "Well, Jesus wants to save you from loneliness." That's true. Jesus wants you to save you from loneliness. He wants you to save you from being purposelessness. He wants you to have a purpose in life. Jesus wants you to save you from that. Or he wants to save you from anxiety. Or he wants to save you from poverty. Or he wants to save you from failure. Those all are true, but primordialmente, more important, he wants to save us from hell. That's why he came to earth. That's why he died on the cross of Calvary, to save us from hell. Jesus wants to save you. He wants to save each and every one of us. Jesus wants to save us from hell. Again, don't get scared. It's a reality. I'm going to show you how not to go to hell. So I'm not trying to scare you into heaven. If you want abundant life, if you want joy, if you want happiness, if you want success, you have to trust Jesus. He'll give you all of those things. He's with us 24/7 if we accept him. If we open up our hearts. I had open heart surgery. And they opened me up and they took my heart out. I think they put it back together. I don't know. But anyway, I had open heart surgery. But Jesus wants you to give him your heart, figuratively though. Not like I gave my heart out of my body for a time to fix. Jesus wants to save us. Bible verses. There's 167 times, 167 times in the Bible talks about hell. 167 times. You're going to say, how do I know that? Because I haven't read them all. Most of them I have. I've looked most of them up. I've typed them down. And I've got just a few here. And if, look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 5:29. And if thy ears offend thee, pluck it out. If your eyes offend you, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for those that one of my members should be perished, and not that my whole body should be cast into hell. There's so many verses. Fear not them which kills the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I mean, over and over and over. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. I mean, there are so many verses. Here are just some of them. When you get home, what you can do is get your phone and look in the internet and the word hell, and it exists. Over and over and over again. What is heaven like? We talked about that. But what is hell like? Well, here's what it says. The Bible describes hell as a place of weeping, gnashing of teeth, outer darkness, eternal fire, everlasting punishment, everlasting torment, with no rest day or night. Bottomless pit, lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Worms do not die, and fire is not quenched. Black darkness, which wickedness dwells. People crying for mercy and destruction. That's what hell is like. I don't want to go there, and I'm not going there. Because Jesus paved the way that I don't have to go there. It's a place. It's not a cartoon or anything. Will I go to heaven? I said yes. Remember I told you? Yes, we talked about that. Will I go to hell? No, I won't. Hell has become a controversial subject in recent years. Even amongst Christians, however, the controversy is entirely man-made. The rejection of the reality of hell seen from human inability to recognize the love of God with eternal punishment. See, God is a just God. And if God will justly reward us, God will justly condemn us if we don't accept him. God loved you so much that he gave his son to die. And all God wants us to do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come in today. Come in this day. Come into my life, the Lord. And he will. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So hell exists, but God loved you so much, he's given you a way out of there. We don't have to go there. And if you believe this, share this with others. Don't be chicken. They might tell you to go to there, but you can tell them you're not going there. As I said, hell is mentioned 167 times in the Bible. Sometimes called, there's different words for it. Sometimes called Hiena, Hades. Sometimes the pit. Sometimes it's referred to as the abyss, everlasting punishment. 167 times. And here are many verses of that. So what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Well, I hope that when you read this verse here, her house is on the way to Sheol, going down to the chamber of death. And you, Capernaum, will be exalted to heaven. You shall be brought down to Hades. Luke 8:31. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Luke 10:15. And you, Capernaum, will be exalted to heaven. You shall be brought down to Hades. Verses after verse on how to get there. How to go to hell? Reject Jesus. How to go to heaven? Accept Jesus. We used to sing one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. Which side are you? And that is so true. Which side of the gate are you in? I'm on the inside because Jesus paid the price. How can I not go to hell? John 3:18 says, explains in the simplest term who will go to heaven and who will go to hell. And this is what it says in John 3:18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they do not believe in the name of God's one and only Son. So these who go to hell are specifically sent there because they have rejected the name of Jesus. They might use the name of Jesus in swear words, in cursing, but they don't believe in him as their Savior. To believe in Christ for salvation requires a transformation of allegiance. We stop worshiping ourselves. We forsake our sins and we begin to worship God with our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. That's what God wants. Now, we've got a lot of wars going on. And we at Cascade support all soldiers because they need Jesus. But this is a chaplain. And I would like to close with this example from this pastor. And he's Ukrainian. He's a full-fledged chaplain. Him facing with the harsh reality of the conflict, he found himself unable to promise soldiers that if they prayed to God, his divine protection would always save them. He couldn't do that. We are to pray to God, but God has a will. And he's got a program for our lives. Let me read that again. His divine protection would always save them. He couldn't say that. Instead, he developed a concept, powerful message, tailored for soldiers facing the constant threat of death. His new approach of sharing the gospel focused on the eternal consequence of faith rather than promising earthly safety. His message that he shaped, formed with soldiers in mind, he says, when your life ends on the battlefield, an angel of the Lord will ask you, where shall I take you? If you answer, I don't know, you'll be on your way to hell. However, if you say, you shall take me to heaven, the angel will challenge you. Are you so good that you should take you to heaven? Your response should be, no, I am not so good, but I believe in Jesus who died for me and is waiting for me in heaven. Then the angel will escort you to heaven. What a beautiful way to end a somber message on hell. So where are you personally going to spend eternity? I cannot judge you. I can't judge the many people who have died, the 21 people who have died since the year began. I can't judge any of them. But I know a lot of them personally in the sense that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if you want to go to heaven and not go to hell, you have to pray the sinner's prayer. You have to pray that God will help you. You know, on the back of my Bible, I give out these Bibles. They're called Gideon Bibles. And it says here, God, I know that I am a sinner. And I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins on the cross and was raised from the dead for my sake. I now turn from my sins forever and acknowledge that Jesus is my Lord. Can you say that? I'm going to read it again. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, pray this after me, silently. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down here. Just this between you and your maker. This between you and God. This is between you and God who sent his son to save you. God, I know that I'm a sinner. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you can't refute that. You've got to know you are a sinner. We lie, we cheat, we steal. We might not be big sinners. Maybe we didn't kill anybody. But we're all a sinner. Lord, God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that your son Jesus died. Do you believe that? 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He was nailed to the cross for your sins and my sins. Now, I was 10 years old when I believed that. Did I understand everything? Did I know if I was justified or glorified or sanctified? Did I know if I was pre-mill, pre-trib, dispensation? All I knew that a 10-year-old kid, that I was a sinner. That's all you have to believe. That you're a sinner. And I believe that the only way out of it, but the gift of God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, and I hope you will this morning, I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross and was raised from the dead for my sake. I now turn from my sins forever and acknowledge that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. See, I sin. I still sin. I've got red blood in my veins. But you know, if we confess those sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even though that you're a child of God, you goof, you make mistakes, you say things, you do things, you act the way you shouldn't, you go places maybe you shouldn't. But you have a conscience because the Holy Spirit is given to you. When I accepted Jesus Christ at 10 years old, God gave me a gift, the person of the Holy Spirit in my life. And when I do something wrong, sometimes I wish the Holy Spirit didn't exist. Because when I do things wrong, he convicts me and convinces me that I have to ask forgiveness of those sins. Why don't you do that today? I'm just going to close in a word of prayer. I'm in no big rush to run off home. But while I'm putting my ministry tools, my wife calls it my toys. When I'm putting my ministry tools away, come and talk to me if you have never prayed that prayer. And ask Jesus to come, because I do not want you to go. I want you to be born again. That's what I want. I want to see you a child of God. I want to be your brother. Maybe your old brother, older brother. I don't know. Maybe your younger brother. Because see, once we accept Jesus, we become a part of the family of God. And I'm part of that family. Because I'm good? Because I'm a preacher? Because I give money to the church? Because I give 35 pints of blood to the Red Cross? Because I help old ladies cross the street? All of those things are good. But I'm saved. I'm born again. Regenerated. Part of the family of God because of what Jesus did for me. The Bible says ye must be born again. You know, this rich, educated Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he came to Jesus because he didn't want everybody to know what he was doing. But he came to Jesus by night, and Jesus says, you must be born again. There is no other way. Trust and obey. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we thank you once again for the word of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that We know many, many people in this congregation, in this auditorium, in this church are not going to go to hell. But if there are any here, Heavenly Father, that have never accepted your Son as their Savior, Savior from hell, yes, Savior from anxiety, Savior from worry, Savior from all these other things that He helps us, but the most important, that saves us for eternity in heaven, saves us to that from hell. Thank you. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a wonderful Lord's Day.